Big.
Shiny.
Goons.
We just touch them all, Joe!
Yeah! You beauty!
It's only game.
Hello and welcome everyone to the show that gets people talking about something else. This is Big Shiny Goons, this is episode 7. I'm your host Thomas and we have a great guest today. They're the associate editor at The Athletic NHL, host of Hockey Inside Out of the Montreal Gazette, and you can find them lately as the host of Yahoo Sports Zone Time, an excellent show, might I add. It's Julian McKenzie. Julian, how's it going, man?
I'm doing all right, man. Thanks so much for having me on, man. It's quite the introduction. I didn't realize I was doing all that stuff. No, I'm playing. I was just happy to be on the show, man.
I mean, I could even go further. I know, like, stuff with SB Nation even, like, of course, all that stuff. But, yeah, how did you kind of, like, I guess the root of it all, like, kind of just get interested in doing this sports media?
I don't know. I just started doing internships when I was a lot younger, and just one thing kind of led to another, just being in journalism school and just always just being down to do a lot of different things and a lot of different things at the same time. And when I got out of school, I did a grad degree at Syracuse, and I came back home to Montreal after the year and just tried to find something to do and just started doing a whole bunch of different stuff, like doing research work with CBC Radio at one point, was doing play-by-play for McGill University in their athletics department. I was a weatherman for like 3 years.
Oh,
that was
man.
Fun. Yeah, just a lot of different things I was just willing to do, but I also just tried to keep my passions for sports media also going as well. And then it just got to a point over in the last year with the Gazette and Hockey Inside Out and some of my own podcasts I got going on where that was just kind of starting to overtake, you know, the majority of my schedule. And then the opportunity with The Athletic showed up and I was like, all right, like, we're going to make this happen. So I've been really lucky because I know there's not a lot of people who have that opportunity and those doors aren't necessarily open to them. And I've had a lot of people open doors for me to take advantage of those opportunities. And I hope I'm able to do that for the generation behind me, but, or coming up behind me, I guess. But yeah, I'm really lucky with everything I got going on right now. So yeah, it's just a matter of just saying yes to everything.
Man, I feel you. I haven't done as much as you, but it's just like, in the blog world or whatever, like trying to find as many places to write, just like going all over the places without like, oh, you know, if I have a little inkling of like an idea and then just searching something out. But like, do you have any crazy weatherman stories of just like someone that has done that for a little bit?
Crazy weatherman stories. I had a lot of people come up to me and not know what my name was. Like a lot of people like it's weird, like when you're on TV, like people, like we're still in an age where enough people watch TV, so if they see like a TV person like out in the wilderness, it's like, oh my god, that person's on TV. And like, right. I would go to the store and my mom would be with me sometimes, and there would be people like looking. It doesn't happen like all the time, but like it would happen often enough where I was like, okay, I gotta be careful. But like there'd be people who might see me from like a couple feet away and they're like, they're looking at me and they want to say hi to me, but like, they're just like kind of shy. And like, I'm not like, I might see that they're looking at me, but like, I'm not thinking like, okay, like, let me go say hi. I'm just like, okay, this person's just looking weird. I don't know. Yeah. Like my mom will just be like, you know, you should be a little friendlier with these people because you know they're just trying to say hi. They don't know who you, they don't know your name, they just want to say hi. Like, but I don't know who these people are. Like I've had people come up to me straight up to be like, yeah, like you're Julian. But I've also had people come up to me and be like, hey, you're Alex. I'm like, who's Alex? I was at the movies one time with my friends, and this one lady came up to me after. She's like, yeah, I heard your voice throughout the movie, and I was like, I had to come up to you. Julius Calvin, I had to say hi to you. I was like, who is Julius Calvin? There's a lot of people just like they had no problem just introducing themselves to me, but like they were just very much like, I don't know, they had no clue who I really was. But there were a lot of people who just were really happy to see me on TV, and I was pretty thankful that all those people watched, I guess, and all those people felt some kind of way or felt some kind of impact from me being on TV. So I don't take that for granted, but there were definitely a few people where I was just like, really? Like, you don't know my name? They show it every time I'm on. I don't know. So it was a bit.
It's right in the Chiron. Bit, come on.
Yeah, it's right on the Chiron. Like it's right there. And they actually make sure to not misspell it, right? Actually, there was one time it got misspelled. And there was like a brief time when I had to do weather reports that would show up on CTV news channel. And the name that showed up for me was like a woman's name. And like one of my friends who like worked at a local radio station, like sent it to me. And I don't know if it was like Janet or like Juliet or something, but like, yeah, it was like straight up like a woman's name. I was like, sure, I mean, God. That's not my name, but like, yeah, like it's one thing if it's like misspelled, my name gets misspelled all the time, but like I very much was not like Janet or whoever. So I guess those are some of the crazier stories, I guess. There's nothing like too insane, I guess, or I guess if it was, I don't know, I guess you have to really be in Montreal to get some of the stories, I guess, but like I don't know, I guess I was thankful for it. It was really cool to be a fill-in weatherman for as long as I was. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, that sounds wild. Just like the kind of stark, or I guess subtle recognition that some people have, just like pointing and just like, oh, do I like, is that or something. But yeah. Anyway, so obviously being in Montreal and this insane season that we're kind of going through, what's kind of the vibe that you're kind of getting, either expectations before the season or what they kind of are now heading to the deadline?
I don't know what the hell they're at right now, because at the beginning of the year, before the season even started, there were a lot of people who were just kind of looking at the team and they're like, well, we just got all, well, they're speaking with the voice of the fans here. They're all like, we just got all these new pieces. What's going to happen? And then you start hearing all these hockey media guys be like, yeah, they made the right decision. All these guys, this team's going to be really good. And maybe they put Toronto as number one in the division. But they were all like, no, Montreal's going to be really good. So everyone's like, okay, we're just going to see. And the Canadiens have an amazing first month. And everyone's like, whoa, this team's really good. And then they meet the Ottawa Senators and it's like, what the hell's going on? So now at this point, everyone at the deadline was like, oh, well, we don't know if Mark Bergevin is going to do anything. And then they get Eric Staal and you're like, well, we got Eric Staal. So I have no clue what the hell to make of any of these so-called expectations right now. I think for fans, if this team could just make the playoffs and go from there, I think they'll be satisfied, because I think if Mark Bergevin put himself in a position where the team was just not good enough to make the playoffs, there would be a lot of questions surrounding his future. But the Flames and the Canucks failed to make up any ground on the Canadiens while they had that week where they were just kind of out of commission due to COVID. So a lot of people are just accepting the fact that it's going to be Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Montreal in whatever order, just those four teams will be there. But going forward, you're just looking at the team and saying, okay, well, I think as long as they get the playoffs that they should be good. But obviously if you're in the playoffs, knowing how people get in the city, like, you know, they want to win, obviously, right? And they're in it to win it. You know, you don't put together all those pieces and you just be like, okay, well, we're happy with the first round exit. Like, that's it. Like, no, you want to go as far as you can. But I think a lot of fans in Montreal will be at least content that the team was able to make the playoffs after it looked as if they were just falling and falling in the standings. Mark Bergevin deserves some credit for trying to right the ship with some of the changes he made. You could say there was an air of desperation, but when you consider the fact that his team hasn't made the playoffs in some time, scrapping what happened in the bubble last year,
right?
There's a lot of pressure around him.
Yeah. And I feel like you said, like he kind of deserves more credit for really going all in, or not all in, but like actually buying and already buying at the deadline, getting Eric Staal, like you said, just getting that idea of like most teams don't really, I feel, want to buy. Like there's not a lot of buyers right now around the NHL. You have your key teams like the Avs or Leafs or etc., Lightning or whatever. But there's a lot of sellers, and I feel like the pandemic kind of has a sense of it. Like, oh, if there's no fans in the building, then what's the really, like, do we need to really build excitement if I'm not seeing it, if I'm not hearing it, if I'm not, like, apart from Twitter or apart from the media, I'm not really getting feedback as much. So, like, do I really need to invest so much into what I'm doing and kind of hope that selling is the right move. It is certainly interesting. I think, honestly, the Habs are going to still keep on buying. I think there's probably one more move just somewhere creeping in there. You know, Bergeron always has his ace up his sleeve with his huge biceps just in there. But anyways,
to make jokes about these biceps, man. A lot of people just lose their mind over this dude's shirt or the way that he's built. Hey, credit to him for keeping himself in shape throughout all this, because being a general manager or working in the front office for the Montreal Canadiens is not an easy job. I imagine you lose a lot of sleep. You will have so much gray hair coming to you. So for Marc Bergevin to seemingly do the best that he can to keep himself in physical shape as a way of combating the stress that comes with the job that he's in, I give him full marks for that. And then to your point about teams looking to sell, I mean, heading into the year, there are so many teams using long-term injured reserve to kind of try to stash away contracts as best as they could, because a lot of teams just couldn't afford to do anything. And with the cap likely just going to be flat and stagnant for the next little while, it's going to be really interesting to see what a lot of them do in the offseason. So yeah, I mean, there is the fact that they're not going to get much revenue going into the playoffs or for the rest of the season, but already they were kind of strapped just before the season even started. So it's been a bit of a difficult situation, especially if you're a team like a Chicago or a Nashville, where all of a sudden you're looking at the standings right now and you're like, oh, there's a chance we could make the playoffs, but that wasn't really in our plan this year. So a lot of tough decisions for some of those teams going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I know that the trade deadline is always it's always hyped up and it never really delivers fully, but are you like doing kind of like a lot of coverage with the gigs that you have, kind of like the going in, kind of staying online 24 hours in ahead of the deadline?
That's just like my like MO, just right. Like any year, whether I was like working or not, that's what I would try to do. I don't know exactly what they're going to have me do this year for all the various gigs. I imagine Yahoo Sports for Zone Time, they'll probably want me to do some show related to the trade deadline. For The Athletic, I'm probably going to be editing a lot of stories that have to do with the deadline, teams looking to move players here and there, different takeaway pieces from that. I imagine that's what my April 12th will look like. So I guess next Monday, I'm not sure when this episode will be out, but April 12th. I guess for some of the other stuff, I guess still touch off on the deadline in some way. In terms of what it'll actually be like, I mean, I felt for a lot of Canadian teams, if they were going to be active, you know, this week, last week, even the week before, that would have been the ideal time to do it, to accommodate the quarantine for players coming in. For Canadian teams, they could kind of say thank God to the fact that the quarantine days have been shrunk from 14 to 7. I mean, who knows if an Eric Staal would have wanted to come to a Montreal or other Canadian team if he had to wait 14 days to get in, right? So it's a bit of I think now would be an ideal time for a lot of these Canadian teams to make moves. But knowing that other American teams are also trying to get offers in, maybe if you're a team holding on to a Matias Ekholm, for example, you don't necessarily want to flinch at the first offer you see, especially if your team is playing really well, right? So this deadline's going to be really interesting, but it wouldn't surprise me if we see a lot of these guys at the poker table just kind of hold back and not necessarily go all in this year. I think this year, of all years, it could be especially boring, but at least James Duthie and the boys at the panel could at least blame the pandemic for the slowdown.
I mean, yeah, that's all they can do. They'll bust out the prime minister heads or whatever or is that free agent frenzy or whatever they do.
I think just anything, right? Like, I don't know, like there's the llamas too. Do you remember that year they had a llama in the parking lot? They had Marty Biron shoot the t-shirt cannon at Jennifer Hedger. Like James Duthie detailed so many stories. And also shout out to Sportsnet as well. They have their own show too. And Chris Johnston and Elliot Friedman and all those guys. I don't want to leave everybody out and have anyone think I'm picking favorites. So
yeah, exactly. With the living in a two company market, it's all right. Anyways, let's move on to what you're kind of here for, to our first segment, Listening Lately. So Julian, what are you listening to lately?
So I have my phone in front of me. I don't know. I mean, obviously we're an audio podcast, so
right.
I wanted to make sure that I got this right. Basically, I put together this playlist. When I got back from Syracuse, I started up just a music playlist, and I compiled it with all these songs that any given moment of in time, I was just listening to. I'd just be like, all right, I'm just going to add it to the playlist. And I think it's, how many songs are in here? It's, okay, I can't see the number of songs that are on it, but it says there's like 115 hours. And the latest songs I added, there's a new Freddie Gibbs song that dropped over the weekend called Big Boss Rabbit, which was pretty good. I had a Wiz Khalifa song in my head called Something New, and I think it was just the Ty Dolla Sign hook that was in it. There's a Montreal rapper. I'm going to really hate myself for getting his name wrong. I think it's Skyfall. I know the eyes, there's two eyes. There's a song called Ting Tun Up, and there's the original, there's the remix part two. Apparently it's getting a lot of love in the UK. People like Georgia Smith have been retweeting the song. What's cool about it is like the video is shot in front of this like modest little grocery store in this one part of Montreal, around the area where I used to go to high school. And like sometimes like I'll pass by the area, like my university was also around there too. So it's just cool to see like, oh, hey, there's that store. Like I've passed that store like so many times, and this guy's doing a video, and now people all over the world are going to see this area of Montreal. Harry Styles, Treat People With Kindness. For whatever reason, I just thought, all right, like I'm just going to listen to that song. I don't know, like almost every single I've heard off this album from Harry has been like really good. Yeah. Watermelon Sugar is pretty good. So like I was rocking with that.
So do you use this like?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Do you use this playlist for like just whenever you need to just listen to anything just like of interest?
Yeah. Like if I just hear something that I want to just listen to again, or I just think is cool and I know I'm going to listen to again beyond the, I guess, the few days it's been out, I just add it to this playlist. I'll add, there's a new album from Death From Above 1979. I added a few songs from that as well.
Right.
Yeah. Like just anything cool. And it's just been, I mean, I don't know if I'll ever move again. I don't know if I ever live anywhere else, depending on how, wherever life takes me. But whenever that happens, I'll stop adding songs to that playlist. And the hours on the playlist will just kind of represent like my time back home in between my time coming back from university in the States to whenever I leave for another job. If that even happens, it'll just kind of be like a representation of how long I've been here and what I've been into and different parts of my life. So that's pretty much what I've been into lately, I guess, over the last like few days. I guess it changes like every day or something, but also it could just, I put it on shuffle and then I don't know, like a Cadronata song will come on. Like it could really just be like anything.
Yeah. Are you enjoying that? Like Cadronata is finally getting the international recognition, like the Grammy noms and stuff. Like,
I think it's really cool, man. I think it's awesome. But like for years, just seeing him just like take one step and go up and go up and go up, it's been really fun to see him rise. And it's been fun to see other people who came up with him and did music with him, or just were just in the beat making community in Montreal, also take pleasure in this. Like I'm just like more or less like a fan at this point. Like I obviously, like there was like a brief period in like university where I was into like the Montreal like hip hop and like beat making scene. But like otherwise, like I've made my life in sports. Like I'm just listening to the music as a fan. But like when I see like other producers in the area just kind of look at Catra and they're like, oh my God, like you're amazing. You're doing all this great work. Like congrats to him. Like that's awesome to see, because, you know, a lot of, obviously whenever people look at Canada for music, I mean, Toronto has the scene to look at, but I think there's a lot of beat makers in particular in Montreal who deserve a lot of love. High Classified got some love in the last few years when he was producing that record with Future and High Classified. Sorry, Future and The Weeknd. It was Future and The Weeknd on think it was Hendrix. I think it was on that Future album, Hendrix. That's like, yeah, and he was signed to, he was on Fool's Gold, that record label led by A-Track. Like, I mean, A-Track, that's another guy who, like, for years has been killing. It's a Montreal guy. And I think it's a scene that deserves a lot of love. And Kay Trinata is a guy who, I think, with a lot of beat makers and a lot of rappers in the city, he gets a lot of love. I think for him, maybe if you ask him or if you ask a few other people, there's still a lot of strides that need to be made for him when it comes to the mainstream community, I guess, for some whatever reason. I don't know if he gets that same respect. Like, I don't think you could go into Montreal and like turn on a French radio station like Sikwa or whatever and then hear like a Kay Trinata song, right? Like, I don't know if it's because his music isn't so set for radio play or just a lot of francophone people just don't look at him in the same way that the rest of the world does. And there's a whole weird fickle thing with Montreal and Quebec culture too, like where sometimes you just kind of have to leave the city, leave the province and get respect elsewhere. And then when you come back, everyone's all like, oh, wow. Okay. You're pretty cool. Like it's really weird how it is. I think a lot of people would say that, but yeah, it's really cool to see Katra get a shine, but I think considering the music and the talent that he has and considering how some people might still snub him a little bit, like he definitely deserves more shine.
Yeah, like 99.9% was like my go-to album for I think like two summers in a row. Although, like, even just walking downtown, just completely just in order, like it was perfect.
I remember, this is a real story that happened. I was doing a story for Noisy a few years ago. I was doing a story on this community of beat makers. It was called Art Beat, where basically a bunch of them through the years would show up at these different venues and they would all just like make music. They would all take out their laptops and just like play beats. So like, I made this beat, this going on. And everyone's just like losing their minds and shit. And like, Katra and all these other beat makers were showing up to these events. And I was reaching out to all these different beat makers and producers just to do like an oral history for the story. And I reached out to Katra's brother, Lou Phelps. And Lou Phelps and I, like we met up at a dog park and we just like hung out all day, or at least for a good chunk of the afternoon. And he was answering all my questions. And he was like, all right, cool. I'll drive you to the bus station so you can get back to the city, because I went off island into like the south part of, well, I guess it's off island in Montreal. I don't want to get into the whole like geography, you know, logistics and whatever. And this was maybe like about a week before 99.9 dropped. And like Lou, we're in his car and Lou's like, do you want to hear the album? I'm like, are you serious? So yeah, like, yeah, I want to hear the album. And like, we're parked in front of the bus station and Lou is playing all these songs off the album. I think he gets to Light Spots on the album. Like he's playing some couple seconds off different cuts and he plays Light Spots. And when that beat drops on Light Spots, I lose my mind. My bus shows up and like it picks up the people off at the stop and then it drives off. And Lou's looking at me like, yo, you just missed your bus. Aren't you going to get it? I was like, no, I'm listening to 99.9. Are you insane? I'm not leaving. I don't care. I'm not going anywhere. It was funny, actually. Like, the very next day, I met up with High Classified, actually. And he played, I went over to his house. And he was like, yeah, I got the album, too. I'm like, oh, shit. And I was like, and he started playing One Too Many with Katra Infante. I'm like, wow. Like, in the span of 2 days, I've heard songs off the album before it even dropped. That's still something that will stay with me for the rest of my life. That was insane. 99.9% that day. A lot of people in the city were really proud. Also that day, if memory serves, that was a day when that album dropped, Coloring Book by Chance the Rapper dropped, James Blake dropped an album that day, and Skepta dropped an album that day. It was like May 6th or something. There's like four really good albums.
Yeah,
four of like my favorite albums of that year all dropped on the same day. It was, I mean, for my money, I'm not like a big music aficionado, but that was one of the best days for music I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah. And like still like holding up projects, right? Like projects that live past just the year, right?
At least 99% for sure. Coloring Book for sure. That Skepta album, I think, is probably the most that was like Skepta's like big, like mainstream, like this is my first album, like
not commercialized,
like,
kind of.
Yeah, that's it. Because everything to that point was like he was doing everything big in the UK, and like everyone in the UK like loved him. And then Drake said, like, all right, cool, like we're gonna make the UK grime scene like a big thing. And then Konnichiwa ended up being the thing. And then The Color and Anything by James Blake. I don't know how well that really resonated after that. I don't know, actually. I don't listen to anything off that anymore. But I remember liking it in the moment.
Yeah, that's probably not one of my favorites. Like, Overgrown is obviously, like, probably my number one James Blake album. Like, just, like, honestly. And probably a lot of other people's. But, yeah, like, that album wasn't the greatest to cut to like follow that, but yeah, that's crazy. I didn't realize that all that stuff was on one day. That's wild.
It's like one day, or at least like the same weekend. Like it was within the same.
Yeah,
I think it was the same day, but if at worst it was like all around the same time, and it was insane.
Yeah, it's just like a time period just slotted out for like just that music. That's great, awesome. Well. Let's move on to the second segment, the album that you're here to talk about. So Julian, what is the album that you're going to be talking about?
I picked Currents by Tame Impala. You know what's funny about that album? Like you asked me what album I should pick, and I was like, all right, cool. Like I thought about it, and then I went away from it for a few days, and they were like, yeah, did you pick an album? And I was like, shit, yeah, I gotta pick an album. And for whatever reason, like when you first said, like, okay, pick an album, I thought about Currents and I was like, I don't know if I want to take Currents. And then when you asked again, I was like Currents just popped up again. And then when I started just re-listening to Currents, I was like, you know, I know why I love this album in the moment, but like I know that album dropped like 2015, yeah. I think that album dropped. Like, it's not better than Slow Rush. And it might not be better than Lonerism, which, like, I don't know. Like, I still love the album. There's still a lot of great songs off that album. I saw Tame Impala in concert when they were touring for that album. And it was still one of the more magical shows I had ever been to. I was still really upset they didn't play Because I'm a Man at that show, which I still think is, like, a really amazing song. But they played, like, New Personal Mistakes. Feels Like We're Going Backwards, which was not on the album but still like a classic. God, I'm blanking on all the songs that were off that album now, but like they were they played a lot of their hits that night, and they played songs obviously off Currents, and it was just like Kevin Parker's such a genius, bro. Like he's so talented. He makes such great music, and it just kind of leaves you in this trance where you're just like, man, like this is just good. And he's just gotten better and better and better, and like I think he's one of the better musicians of the last like 15, maybe 10, at least 10 years at least, right? Because of all the different sounds he's been able to create. Like Slow Rush has seen more like funkier, like stuff you can kind of like move a bit to. Currents is just a bit more atmospheric, might not be the best word, but that's like an album you can kind of just like, if you're just laying back, you're just trying to chill and just kind of like feel things, like you could just play that. Like Let It Happen off the top is amazing. Eventually is amazing. The Less I Know the Better is the song I was thinking of. That's
right.
That's classic. That's amazing. But like I think there's just I think that album in particular, like I guess around the time I was still in university, I was slowly like, That was the album that made me a fan, that really sold me on Tame. I think like Lonerism before it, I was like, okay, I heard the songs, they're all like really good, and like I love the album, but I was like, okay, it could easily be a thing where it's like that's just the one album I like, and then I never really get into them after. Then when I heard Currents, I was like, okay, I'm fully in on the Kevin Parker Tame Impala band. Like put me on the train. I'm following it this whole way through. I rock with this band. This was the album that solidified my fandom for Tame Impala.
Yeah, like it, I feel like a lot of the heat that it kind of gets is it from going like more, I guess, traditional with Lonerism, like more guitar, bass, drums, kind of bass stuff. And then this has kind of transitioned a lot more into the synthy vibe. And I feel like it kind of perfectly describes what you're saying of just like not so like active, but more like passive music. Like I feel like the whole album is very good, like walking music. Like it's just like, especially because I'm a man, like that's like sometimes I'm heading out the door and it's just like, okay, perfect. Like, like kind of just that kind of vibe of just like really passive, just let it go flow through you, right?
Dude, like when you hear that, like that bass, like that just hits you. Like it just, and then off the chorus where like, it just sounds, forgive me, I'm not able to like describe these songs as well as I would have been able to, like if you had asked me this like 6 years ago, but like these songs, especially because I'm a man, just kind of hits you. It just hits you in this gut in this way. And maybe that's why I resonate with it so well. It's just like, it's Kevin Parker just trying to be vulnerable and realizing like, because he's this like flawed person, like he's just going to make all these like mistakes all the time. And it's just like, wow, like this feels like an honest, like vulnerable, maybe not demasculating, but like it's kind of stripped down like song. Like it, I don't know. And I just love it. Like it's just the song. It's sonically pleasing to me. That's basically why I love Tame Impala the way that I do. Like every time they do something, it's just sonically pleasing to my ear.
And do you remember like kind of your first listen? I know you mentioned like kind of the time like in university and stuff, but do you remember like the first time kind of sitting down and listening to it?
Not really. I wish I did, but like, I don't remember the very first time I listened to that album. I'm sure like considering the year 2015, middle of the summer, was probably really excited about it. They probably had a single or two before then that probably hyped me up. And then probably later that fall, while at Concordia, by the way, the school I went to at Montreal was Concordia University. And I was doing work with the student paper called The Link newspaper. And we had this office space in the sixth floor of one of our school buildings. And I would spend a lot of time there just, you know, putting together my sports section and working with other editors. And there were a few Tame Impala fans, and there's definitely some people just like bumping the album at different points. And, you know, if I hear someone like listen to the album, I'm like, oh my God, like Currents is so good or whatever. Or if I'm trying to get through an edit on a story or just chilling at the office, just trying to do homework and pass the time, like I'll play the album. So it definitely was not like one of those like flash in the pan albums where it's like, all right, it's good in the moment. And then after 2 weeks you get bored. Like, you know, I still very much play this album every now and then, even if I might go to Lonerism, I might even go to Interspeaker sometimes, but like, Currents is definitely an album I still go back to. But unfortunately, I'm bummed. I don't actually remember what it was like hearing it for the first time. It might have leaked. Did it leak? I think it leaked.
Ooh.
I might have posted about it on Facebook. I mean, don't mind me. Like, I'm going to like look at this in like real time and like go on my Facebook and see if it leaked. I think it did leak. Do you remember when albums leaked?
Man, I don't. Like, I honestly, like,
sometimes, how old are you? How do you not remember albums leaking?
I do remember like albums, kind of the ideas leaking, and like I think I just wasn't invested a lot. So like my whole like, I don't like listen to albums right away. Like I let them like hang in there, like once they're released, or like, and then
wow,
it's just like I'm terrible like that. Some projects I'm like, okay, I gotta listen to this right away or whatever, but like other times I kind of let them sink in with like the public or reviews or anything and just kind of hear that and then kind of check it out.
Different.
I think
you're different. Well, bro, like I don't know how you do that, because like for me, if there's an album that I or a project I'm really into, or for an artist I'm really into, I'm trying to listen to it like as soon as I could get it. If Kendrick Lamar, all of a sudden, we get off this call, he puts up some tweet saying new album dropping at midnight, I know I have to wake up early the next day. I don't care. I'm going to listen to the album. Right. back in the day when like The Weeknd would drop mixtapes and like you would try to go on Datpiff or hotnewhiphop.com to try to listen to this album, and for like the whole first hour when it dropped, you couldn't even get on the damn site because it freaking crushed. Like I waited the whole hour, and then like at 10 o'clock it'd be like, all right, finally, like it's available for me to download. I did it. I was very yeah. much like that person. The thing is that you're right though with the way albums are reviewed. It's very easy to listen to something in the moment and be like, man, this is an instant classic. And then maybe at like the end of the week, like you just have people who are just like, yeah, like, you know, the album was super good and everything's great. And then like 3 weeks later or 3 months later, like you don't even go back to it. You have to be careful with how quick we pass judgment on albums. But again, just with the same theme with Tame, like it's just, for whatever reason occurrence, like it's still kind of held its own and still kind of just, it's still a very like listenable album. It's the playability, I think, is still pretty high, but I will admit it's not as high as what I think Slow Rush will be and maybe other albums before it, but I think it's mm-hmm. still like a very playable album. And I thought I put up a Facebook post saying that it leaked, so I was not able to find it, but I'm almost willing to bet money that album leaked.
I think, okay, I'm on the wiki now because I had to do this.
Do you remember like yeah. Tame for that particular album? Like they dropped like a whole bunch of these songs just kind of like randomly. It was just kind of like, this is good. This is good. Like all the singles were really good. Like the rest of the yeah. album was still pretty good, but like all the singles that they dropped were really good. And that I think hyped me up like ahead of the album. I was like, whoa, like all these singles are like if all the singles are good, then like this album is probably going to be incredible. And I mean, the singles were really good. The album as a whole was good, but like, I don't know. It's just like, I mean, Love Paranoia is okay, but it's not a single for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like I still like Currents though. I don't want to sound like I'm dubbing on it. I feel like I'm kind of going as like, yeah, it was this great album, but I was like, you know, I don't listen to it as much, but like, yeah, it was great. I feel like I'm going like back and forth on it.
Well, man, so I re-listened to it once you mentioned it, and then I listened to Cause I'm a Man, and then I was like, okay, I know this from somewhere. Obviously, like I was listening to it a little bit, but I was like, was this in a movie or like a video game or like a show? Like, do you remember at all? Like hearing it somewhere, I was like, this is a trailer for something, or like, I don't know. It was bugging me the whole time. I Googled it probably for like an hour.
I can't think of, if it was, I feel like I would have known. I know right. for the longest while, Elephant by Tame Impala was in like Samsung, Samsung commercials. And I was like, oh, this is a good song. Like that also added to me like kind of learning about Tame Impala as a whole and be like, okay, let me get into this band. But like, I can't think of where I heard Cause I'm a Man. I know I remember watching the video at least once or twice on Much, for what it's worth. Yeah, like I can't think of where I heard Cause I'm a Man outside of the album and singles, and I feel like I would know if it was in like a commercial or something. I feel like if it is, like let me know, because like that's actually funny enough. Wikipedia says, "Cause I'm a Man" dropped as a single April 7th. I don't know when this podcast is coming up, but it just so happens we're coming up on the 6 year anniversary of this song.
Oh, there you go.
As a single, yeah.
Well, it's coming out tomorrow on the 6th, so.
So yeah. Just before.
We'll be able to, like, put it, and then people will listen, like, absorb the podcast, and then listen to the album. It'll be perfect.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So, like, you were saying that you don't really, like, return to this album a lot. Like, would you say this is one of your least favorite, but, like, kind of less regular Tame Impala albums? Like, you listen to Lurism more, or?
Like, I think because Slow Rush came out when it did, the replayability of that album is still enough for me to just kind of hang around with. With currents, maybe like if I hear "Cause I'm a Man" or "New Person," same old mistakes, like it comes up in the shuffle. It's like, yeah, like this is, I'm going to play it. But it has been a while since I went back to the entire album and I was like, all right, I just want to play this from like back to front. But I think if I really were to do like a side by side comparison, I think it might still edge out Lonerism a bit. Like I think Lonerism as a whole, like I was listening, I figured like, you know what the hell, let me go back to Lonerism too, and like there's some great songs on there, but it's been a while since I sat down and I said, okay, I'm just gonna listen to this album. And that came out like a couple years ago. Like that was, I think if anything, and I won't count any albums before Lonerism and act like, oh yeah, I've been a fan from so long, you know. I guess with those three albums, I'd say Slow Rush I go back to the most, and then Currents, and then Lonerism. There's also a really cool in-depth look at Slow Rush on Spotify, where they get this journalist to do a sit down with Kevin Parker, and he goes through each track one by one. And after he says a couple words on the song, he's like, yeah, this is why I did this song. It goes into the song they're talking about. And it's just like an immersive, it's like a really cool experience to listen to the album in a much different way. So if anyone is up for that, feel free to find it on Spotify. It's there.
Yeah, it's like a director's cut, right? Producer's cut.
Pretty much.
So you mentioned like being in the room and being in that like newsroom when you were, when this album came out and everything, kind of, do you listen to a lot of music like while working? Like is Currents one of the album like a working album? Or?
Like when I'm working, I put my playlist on and I'm just listening to whatever comes up. I think that album for sure, when I got back to school in the fall, or I was just working in the summer, just doing random stuff, I was playing it. Like 2015, I was probably still doing some internships. Not probably, I definitely was. So I was playing that for sure. I don't know if it's like a work album, but definitely like in the moment, like it probably had enough material off it where I was just like, okay, this is part of the rotation. This is part of like the six, like there's going to be some singles off that album that are part of the six or seven that are like, I'm going to replay the shit out of over and over and over and over and over. Oh, there's that random eighth one that I, you know, meant to circle back on. It's like an old Kanye West song, whatever. Let me go back to playing Disciples again. In its heyday when it was out, that was definitely one of the more listened to albums I had. And I'm sure if I did what I would do on like my own like personal blogs, I would do like my favorite albums of the year or whatever. I'm sure if I find it somewhere, like it's probably like, if not number one, like number two. And I'm saying that with no recollection or very little recollection of all the albums that dropped that year. And I'm like 2015, it was a pretty good year, but I don't remember every other album that dropped in 2015.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to remember anything. Like there's probably some big projects, like a Drake project or whatever that I'm trying to remember, but 2015. Yeah, but I feel like for me, like it depends on the album too, for like working. Like for me, if it's like too like attention grabbing, or like if I really want to listen to it, then it's like, okay, that can't write or whatever or do anything, kind of browse or edit or whatever with it on. So like I don't know if you find that, if like there's certain albums that just work better for you, or
for me, like if the album is new and I want to like listen to it, it's a lot harder to do work with. Like, because at that point, it's like, say, like Drake drops a new album. It's a brand new album. You haven't heard it yet. I don't want to be working at the same time while I listen to this album, because that means I'm not necessarily giving it that proper respect. I want to be able to listen to all the songs and determine which songs I want to listen to, which songs are really good, and which songs I'll just skip through. And I feel like if you're working through them, you're not going to get it. I think you have to listen to an album enough times, or song enough times, where you're comfortable with having it as some kind of background noise. You can still, like, you know, work and just kind of bop your head and whatever and be like, yeah, this is a dope song, but like, it's not going to be the same as like when you hear it for like the first time. Like, I could go through a work shift and play like Young Thug in the background, but I'm not going to lose myself in the lyrics that he has, because I've heard him say like, got me a check, I got a check, like 100 times. Right. So yeah, I think it just, for me, like, as long as I like the song or I like the album, like, that's not going to be a problem for me to have on my rotation to listen to while I work. But like, if it's something that's like too new, it's going to be a lot harder for me to concentrate, because I'm going to try to listen to the album and try to figure out like, what's this album about.
Yeah, man, that's sweet. So yeah, speaking of, I guess, your rotation, let's move on to the next segment, the recommendation. That's not really a good segue, but so Julian, what's like one piece of media, book, movie, article, anything that's come to your mind that you would like to recommend to the audience?
This is
to check out.
This is a
zone. Really, it could be zone time. It could be.
I'm trying very hard to not plug anything that I have, because like, I mean, obviously, like, you should check out all the stuff I'm in, yeah. But like, we did that off top, I guess. I mean, subscribe to The Athletic. If you haven't subscribed to The Athletic, we always appreciate the subs. Listen to the Yahoo Sports Hockey podcast, which I know I'm on every now and then, but that's Justin Cuthbert's show. And he's a great talent, man. I know he's got the hockey royalty lineage in his family, but and I know he hates it whenever I put that up in his face. He hates it. I don't know if you ever experienced that with him. Yo, but like, he hates that so much.
I didn't realize, like, probably halfway through my Yahoo internship, I like had no idea. I just like didn't relate the two last names at all. And I was like, oh, I think like Ailish told me. I was like, oh, true. I was like, okay.
No, man, like, he's so like, just he's his own guy. He tries his absolute best to be his own dude. So like, I remember like one time we were doing an episode of the Yahoo Sports Hockey podcast, and we were talking about how ESPN was getting the rights for the NHL off the contract they had signed, and I was about to make this impassioned plea for ESPN to rehire Gary Thorne to call games, just like they did before they lost the rights. And I started off by saying, like, Justin, you know, I'm a real big fan of your dad. You know, he's a great commentator, but they should hire Gary Thorne. And like, Justin's just like, thank God. Like, he just like let out a sigh of relief, because he thought I was just going to gas him up at his dad. But he's just like, nah, man, like, he likes to hear himself talk. But like, his dad's a legend. He knows his dad's a legend. But I think he also knows that, like, you know, he's not his dad. He's never going to be his dad. But Justin is his own person. So all that to say, check out the Yahoo Sports Hockey podcast with Justin. Check out the Away From the Play podcast, which is hosted by my good friend Safi Ahmad and former Les Canadiens player Melanie Desrochers. They're two good friends of mine who host a show where they basically just talk to different athletes and people in the sports world every week. They have a Women's Hockey Monday, so they talk to someone from the women's hockey world almost every week, and they do a lot of good stuff. Who else should I plug? I don't know how many stuff I can plug, but I'm just gonna take advantage. Kevin, my buddy Kevin Raphael, has a show called Sans Restriction. It's very much like there's a lot of stuff in French, but he does a lot of stuff in English, and I think Kevin Raphael is a guy who maybe the rest of the country does not know, but like, in Quebec, think of him as like the closest thing our province has to Cabby Richards. He's a guy who finds himself really connected to a lot of Quebec-based athletes, whether through the interviews he's done on his podcast or whether through the like charity events he's also been a part of, or just doing TV on different French channels. Like, he's that guy, and he's just funny. He's found his lane as an entertaining personality. And he's just hilarious, and it shows out on the Sans Restriction podcast. Like, it's really good. I I'm trying to think if there's like a book. I'm looking off to my bookshelf to see if there's a book worth plugging. Hold on a second, actually. I have a book, actually. I have a book.
Perfect.
There we go. I got it. Apologies for the brief stop here. The book I pulled out here is a book called The Skin We're In by Desmond Cole. I really enjoyed it from last year. He gives a really in-depth look at what it's like to be Black in Canada and relations between obviously us in Canada and police. It was a very insightful and eye-opening read, especially when it comes to Black Canadians or persons of color who have disabilities and how they're viewed in this country by police and how those situations, which, you know, if there was someone who knew how to deal with mental health instances, were in some of these situations, how they would have gone about. Like, it tackles a lot of different things and obviously a lot of his own personal experiences, whether as a child growing up or just working as a journalist when he did with the Toronto Star. And juggling the balance between being a journalist and an activist. I think that's a book. And the very last, that's a book that I think people should check out, obviously.
Yeah.
And the very last thing I will plug, I'm just going to plug Shireen Ahmed, who is one of the better journalists and activists, funny enough, to follow out of our country. She sometimes does work at TSN. She has her own podcast, The Bird All Down podcast. And she's accomplished and she writes virtually everywhere. So shout out to Shireen, shout out to all the other places I've plugged, and go listen to the Waterboys podcast, which is another podcast I have, and go listen to, actually this podcast drops on the 6th, right? So I got like two other podcasts dropping that day. So like listen to the Waterboys podcast with me and my co-host Frank Pavan. We were talking to Noah Eagle, who is the radio play-by-play voice for the Los Angeles Clippers, and his dad is Ian Eagle. And if you're a big fan of NBA Desktop, Jason Concepcion was on my other podcast, the Scrum Podcast, with Tristan Damour, who I think you should go hire because he is one of the better soccer journalists in this country. I know I have a lot, but you gave me the space to plug whatever I wanted, so this is your fault.
It's okay. I accept the apology. But like Desmond and Shireen have been like two of my favorite writers, honestly. Like, you kind of just plugged them, but like Desmond's writing with the Star, obviously, and like kind of that balance between, like you said, like journalism and activism, of like trying to write but then like not that like weird industry kind of we've both had experience. Obviously you've had more and more success and like experience and everything, but like just the weird balance that you get with like your morals and sometimes the like what you cover and stuff. So I think Desmond is just someone that is a someone to look up to if you're like a young journalist to kind of just trying to get your name kind of not mix like success or try to like achieve fame or anything, but just trying to stick with what you kind of believe in. But yeah, Desmond's been someone that I've kind of admired and just read for a long time, and it's just, and I haven't read that book yet, but I need to.
You should. You absolutely should. I think even if you're not a person of color, just to kind of understand from Desmond's perspective and our perspectives, essentially. I mean, I know I have had my. I'm not going to sit here and act like I've had these devastating experiences with law enforcement. I've had experiences with law enforcement, but they pale in comparison to what I know friends have gone through or other people in the media or through media stories have shared over the last how many years. And people need to realize this is not, you know, I know everyone likes to think about what happened last summer with the George Floyd kneeling, and everyone saw that as this big racial reckoning that spread over into so many elements of our daily lives. But that's not the first time we've seen a Black life lost at the hands of police or unjustly or unnecessarily. You think back to Trayvon Martin. You think back to so many other stories and so many other unfortunate Black people who have lost their lives unjustly. So I hope people take this time, especially now that we're all kind of forced to be inside and away from large groups. I hope people just take this time to, you know, realize their racial biases and realize that, you know, things could be way better when it comes to the treatment of persons of color, especially Indigenous people as well. And it, you know, it's one thing to just put up an Instagram post and be like, yeah, I care about this stuff. But you going to your racist uncle and being like, yo, stop calling the natives by this name they shouldn't be called by, does a lot more work than putting up like a TikTok on why you shouldn't be racist. Actually, I shouldn't say that, because a lot of these TikToks nowadays, they're serving to be informative and they do have that purpose and they're doing a really good job at it. But that does just as much work as opposed to just putting up like a black square saying like Blackout Tuesday or something. Yeah. That's a much better example to say. So yeah, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And it comes from, it's not just me, it's people like you, dude, and people who are in higher spots in our society to do something.
Yeah, couldn't end on a better and more important note, truly. Well, thanks, Julian.
Thanks,
if you didn't have enough, if you didn't have enough plugging, where can people find your Twitter and your personal social media?
JKA MCKENZIE is the Twitter handle. Yeah, I think I've got all my stuff on in my Twitter bio. I'm sorry I plugged so much stuff. Like, no. I don't know, man. I was hoping that, like, you know, once I got this gig with The Athletic, it's like, all right, cool. There's like fewer things for me to plug and fewer things for me to do. I'm just gonna work on this job. And then everyone's all like, nah, man, you want to do this? So I'm like, okay, fine. So yeah, I'm, like I said, I'm very lucky that I have all the work that I have, because we're still in a pandemic, or as the noted poet laureate Gunna would say, a panoramic, or a Panasonic, or a pandemic, or pandy, or however you want to call it, I guess, to kind of pass the time. I'm very lucky to still be able to work and have my health in this time. It's not lost on me, and I intend to give everything that I do the full 100%. So yeah, I'm pretty thankful for that. But yeah, if you want to check out all the stuff I do, just go on my Twitter. I usually post about it. And I hope you enjoy the new article I have up on The Athletic. I didn't even point that up. I didn't even pump that too. I have my debut for The Athletic there too. So April 6th is a pretty big day for me.
Jerome May 6th.
Oh, wait, what?
Like the albums that all came
out on May 6th. Yeah, that's actually true. It's like my own personal May 6th. Holy shit, you're absolutely right. Yeah, wow.
Anyways, perfect. You can find the podcast at big_shiny_goons. Try to pronunciate. You can find me at No Side Retained.
Try to pronunciate, that's good.
Man, I've been doing this too much.
My G, pronunciate. Oh man, I hope whatever alma mater you went to, bro, I hope they're not listening to this being like, we need to take this degree back. I don't think Thomas deserves this.
Centennial sports journalism.
Oh, damn. Look, I don't know who the teachers were there. I don't know teachers were there. I've never been to that school, but if they hear pronunciate, I'm sure
I will enunciate and pronounce this word like a proper. I sucked at the radio, if you couldn't tell, the radio program.
Oh my god! Nah, I bet you were fine, dude. I bet you were good, dude.
I was just the writing guy, right?
Look, writing is at the basis of everything in this industry. If you can write, you can write up your own meal ticket anywhere else, essentially. So, it's good on you that you got that right.
Well, I'm trying. All I'm doing is trying. Yeah,
that's
you
can
like,
can do,
review,
bro.
Review the podcast, rate, review, subscribe, follow, all those good things, download, you know, listen. Anyways, thank you, Julian, so much for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, dude.